You're listening to Amud V'Chazer, Daniel Eisberg, Masechet Shabbos, Daf, Kuf, Chaf, Vav, Amud Beis. And today we'll finish the 17th parak, Mir Sashem. We're also learning the Schus, the Rav Shav, Rav Shalema. The Daf Simen is, Kuf, Chaf, Vav, is a cuckoo clock. I didn't have the, I'll get the Simen out. The 3 points, one of them I think is from yesterday's Amud, so we'll check them out. But remember, Kuf Chav Vav is a cuckoo clock, and I'll post that tonight. I think I'm actually behind. I think I didn't post Kuf Chav Hey as well, so I'll have to take a look at that. So the point we said, the Zikr point from yesterday, which actually is also on this Amud, is that what the Chacham hold regarding window shutters. We mentioned yesterday, we're learning about the Machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. Rabbi Eliezer says that it needs to be kashur v'talui, right? It has to be attached, right? That meaning in order for a window shutter to be placed into the window to block the window, hey, doesn't that look like bona? Doesn't it look like building? So no, if it's attached and hanging, so it's clearly attached, then it doesn't look like building and it's not a problem. According to Rabbi Eliezer, and the Chachamim disagree. They say, no, it's okay, bein kach u bein kach. And we had two ways to understand that in the Gemara. Bein kach u bein kach. Either way, does that mean whether it's hanging or not, as long as it's tied, it's okay? Or even if it's not tied, it's completely detached from the ground, it's completely detached and still. So there are the two ways to learn that. And so that's the first point, just the machlokas about the status of a window shutter that is tied or not tied, hanging or not hanging. That's the first zikr point, and the next two zikr points are from this amud. So I believe we were just before the last mishnah in the perek. We just said that we said okay that Rabbi Yochanan says the halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel, and we said hold on there. Rabbi Gamliel holds in general a different principle. Regarding hazmana, that you don't need to do a physical action to an item to make it no longer mukta, right? We have an item that's mukta machmas gufo, a rock, something like that, block of wood or whatever it might be, something that is mukta because it inherently is useless. And in order to use it, do you have to do something physical, a maisa, to fix it? And would that, and it may, will require that. So we know Rabbi Yochanan says you do need to, and Rabbi Gamliel says you don't. So how can he hold like him? So we simply said, you're right. Svira lekva sebechadu palig alebechada. Right. So regarding bona, he agrees. Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Rabbi Gamliel of a shita regarding bona that the shutter doesn't need to be attached. In order for us to be done, he agrees by bona. However, it doesn't mean he agrees in every area of halacha. Hechas mukta, he says no. Hechas mukta, Rabbi Yochanan says it requires more than just hazmana. I mean, it requires not more than just a mental or verbal designation, but a physical action. And Rabbi Gamliel holds that it does not. Darash Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha apischa deresh galusa. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha taught drasha at the door of the Reish Galusa. We have this expression in other places in Shas. Similar, and in particular with Rav Yitzchak Nafcha also, I believe. But he's teaching by the door of the Reish Galusa. Halacha k'Rabbi Eliezer. The halacha is in accordance with Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, remember, is the machmir shita of the in the window shutter case. Mosif Rav Amram says, hold on. Umidivrehem lamanu. So this is actually a quote from a Mishnah. All the way at the end of the Masechta, right? See, the side is Lakaman Kuf Nun Zayin Amar Aleph. So this is all the way at the end. And it says, so this is a quote in the middle of the Mishnah. It says, Umidivrehem, and from the actions of, it was Ratzadok, take a look at Rashi. Rashi gives us a little bit of background. It says, the Perek Basra, in the final Perek, Bimei Aviv, Shel Rabbi Yitzchak, sorry, Rabbi Tzadok, Ubimei Abba Shaul ben Batnis. So it was in the days of them. Shepakku esama or batapiach v'kashru esama keda begemi leda imyesh begigis poseach tefach. I don't know the exact details of this case, but they tied something in to measure using like a leaf read to know if there's a certain amount of liquid in this barrel, a posach tefach, for some tumah tahara purposes, to understand some of the, I don't know, the volume of this jar, whatever it is. So there in that Mishnah, it concludes based on that Maisa the following. We learned three things: that you're allowed to plug up, and measure, and tie on Shabbos. We learned these three heterim. Now it's not so simple, right? Not across the way. I'm allowed to tie. I was pretty sure that was one of the Lamates Malachos. So Rashi says Shapokin es hamaor bedavar she'eno kasher v'taloi. So that's our case. That you're right, that the maor is a lighter or a window, so with if it's even if it's not tied and hanging, so that's relevant to our case. So it means that you're not that meaning even like the most makel version of the Rabbanan, the kosherin, kesher she'eno shel kayama l'chatchila, right? That we're talking about a kesher that's not shel kayama. Umodedin mikva umatlanios. For a mikvah, for a davar mitzvah, you're allowed to measure. In general, there's a prohibition against measuring, Isur Derabanan, I believe. But for a davar mitzvah or a mikvah. So we learn these three kulos from this story. So that's all a discussion about on Kufna and Zion. Mir Tashem will get there. Abalena Latova. But what we're taking out of this is we see over here in that Mishnah, it paskins, lahalacha, shepokagin, that we're allowed to do that. So Amar Alei Abaye. So Abaye says back to him, right? So this is a challenge to Rav Yitzchak Nafka. Because Rav Yitzchak Nafka said that halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer, right? The Machmir Shita of the window shutter case. And Rav Amram is challenging him. He says, hold on, we have a Mishnah later on at the end of the Masechta. We have a Mishnah that says that they paskined clearly like the Rabbanan. So Amar Le Abaye, Abaye says back to Rav Amram, Madatech, what are you thinking? Mishum diktani stama neger hanegrar? Or diktani stama? Meaning, why do you assume, right? We have a Mishnah over here where it's the Chachamim versus Rebbe Eliezer, and we have this mission at the end, right? This mission at the end of the Masechta. And so what? Because that's stam, because that's written in like a plain way, meaning it's anonymously. So we're going to pass on like them. Because in general, we're more likely to paskin like an anonymous shita in a Mishnah. That's like a klal. There are for sure exceptions, but that's a klal that if you see an anonymous opinion and then a das yachid, so we follow the anonymous opinion in general. So what are you trying to tell me? That because in this Mishnah at the end of the Masechta, it's mentioned as stam, it's anonymous, and therefore we hold like it. But maybe it's talking about an our Mishnah, right? The Chachamim are anonymous. But he says, but neger hanegrar nami stama he. But remember that we brought a brisa the other day, right? On the previous amud that also has this machmir shita, and it's also presented anonymously. So yes, like granted, okay. In the Mishnah, the make opinion is anonymous. But in the Braiso we mentioned the other day, or maybe it was a Mishnah in Erevin, actually, that was a Machmir opinion. The Machmir opinion was anonymous, so you can't really say one or the other. So you're bringing this Mishnah here, but it's really not so poshut. So the Diktani Stama Negar Agrar Nami Stamahi. So Vafilo Hachia. Even so, Maisa Rav. Over here, this is a Maisa Rav. Maisa Rav is the principle that we saw it in practice. It was the actions of the rabbis that did something, right? It wasn't like a theoretical lumdish discussion in the base medrash and academic discussion, but it was halacha lemaisa. And if it's halacha lemaisa, that weighs a lot more in what we're actually going to do. We see over here Rashi points this out. Take a look at Rashi. Madateh de mosevas l'Rebbe Yitzchak Nafka. He says mehai. Right, he says, what are you thinking, Rav Amram, that you're challenging Rav Yitzchak Nafka from this? Matzilishnuyi la hamani rabbanani maybe this is the maybe I could just tell you that this Mishnah that we quoted at the end of the Masechta is the this is the Shita of the Rabbanan. V'mishum v'tani lo stama mosev, and you're going to say, oh, it's written stam. So mosevis le de mistam lan kerabbanan hilchos lekivazayu. Right, you see, that's what you're trying to say. So negar ha-negrar nami stama says Rashi katani lo v'stam lan b'hak Rabbi Eliezer dasar. So it's stam versus stam. Therefore, ma'isa rav. Lemelef mina dekeven de samich lima abed uvda lakula. Since he actually relied on it to do an action lakula shmamina hilchasahi, right? You know, you can have this whole academic discussion. You know, technically it's mutter, but when you see the rabbi actually follow this in practice and actually take a lenient opinion in practice, like okay, now we know for sure. It's, you know, it's halach lemaisa. That's the extra rabbi we're going to paskin. Okay. Final mission in the Perek. Mesnisin kisui hakelim sheyesh lehem beis achiza nitlin b'shabbos. If you have the a cover of kelim that has a handle on it, you're allowed to take them on Shabbos. Amar Rabbi Yosi, b'medu aramurim b'kisei karkaos. That's talking about if it's the kisui, the cover of karkaos, of the ground, which means. Rashi says, "Kigon kisui bor vadus," because if it like the cover of a pit or a cistern, which I only know is probably just a synonym of a pit, and is it right? But think like a sewer, right? Like a sewer. Why the havi kibona? It looks like bona. Ilav de mukha be achiz beis achiza dila. And if there's not a mukha, if it's not like obvious that there's a handle on it, that is for the purpose of taking it out and putting it back on, right? So if there's a handle on the sewer, let's call the sewer to make it easy, or is that maybe that's maybe not the sewer, maybe the sewer is the cover, the sewer cover, the manhole cover. I don't know which parts of what, right? The kisoy karkaos, right? So if you take the kisoy karkaos, if there's a handle on it, okay, then that's okay. Avo b'kisoy hakelim says Rabbi Yosi ben kach nitzel m'shabbos. No, but on a kli, that's fine. Either way, you can take a shabbos, right? Because right, if I have a pot and I have a cover on the pot, I'm not doing bona. I'm taking the cover off the pot. The pot cover does not need a handle. When we say a kisoy needs a base achiza, needs a handle, that's talking about the kisoy karkaos, because otherwise it looks like bona. It looks like you're building the ground. It's not clear that it's like a temporary thing that you take out, put back on. It looks like I'm being mashvagumos essentially on the ground. That's the Mishnah. Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda bar Shila, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, v'hu sheyesh toras kli alehen. But this is dafka where there's toras kli on the cover. So the cover, I guess, needs to function. As the cover needs to function, have a function itself. The kisuyin halalu chazu l'tashmish to alma avo kisuy kli lo anrinan klihu. So this, which is this is not the only opinion. I think we've seen previously in the Gemara that not everybody holds like this, but that the kisuy itself needs to be useful for a function, and just the fact that it's the cover of a kli does not necessarily make it a kli itself. So it needs a toras kli on it, which is interesting because, you know, what we said previously, even a piece of pottery can be considered a kli if because it has the function of covering a kli. So I'm not sure yet how exactly to balance this. This seems like a major chumrah with what we were learning previously, but we'll try to get through that. And dekuli alma kisoy karkaos im yeshelhen beis achiza in ilo lo. So now let's just clarify. Everybody holds dekuli alma kisoy karkaos that the covering of the ground, right, the pot, the manhole covers im yeshelhen beis achiza in ilo lo. If there's a beis achiza, yes. If there's a handle, good. And if not, not. Kisoy hakelim afagav de ein lahem beis achiza, and kisoy kelim even if there's no beis achiza. I mean, what I basically explained in the Mishnah, the Gemara is just, you know, clarifying that, making it very clear. If it's kelim, then it's fine. So ki pligi, when do we argue? B'kelim dechavrinahu ba'ara, that with kelim that are attached to the ground, meaning they're not kalim formed in the ground. It's not a hole in the ground, but it's attached to the ground. And this is so then the question is, what's the status of this? Do these need do the covers of these things need handles or not? Mar savar gazrinan, umar savar lo gazrinan. Right, one master says that we are gozer, that we're saying, yes, it's true, it's a kli, it's not the part of the ground, but because it's attached to the ground, it looks like it's part of the ground, and therefore we're gozer anyway, that it, the kisui must have a beis achiza, the cover must have a handle. And mar savar lo gazrinan, this is no, it's not a hole in the ground, it does not look like bone, even if it's attached to the ground, and there's no gzeira, and therefore you even the kisui without a beis achiza is not considered mokzer. Lishna achrina, and just another way to phrase, actually there's a machlokas in the Rishonim whether this is a this lishna achrina. Well, let's read lishna achrina. Lishna achrina ki pligi b'ki pligi. When do they argue? B'ki soy tanur, with the ki soy of a tanur, of an oven. An oven is typically attached to the ground. So b'ki soy tanur mar madami le the ki soy karka. One says, well, the oven is basically attached to the ground, so it's a kisui karka. Umar madami le the kisui kalim. And the other master says, no, it's like an oven is a kli, like an ailer. It's a large kli, yes, it's attached to the ground, but it's a kli. And therefore, you would not need a beis achiza on the kisui in order to make it not mukta. And there's different ways, this is machlokas in the Rishonim, is this lishna acharina? Is it just a different way to phrase the same basic machlokas, right? Let me know, yes. It just the way it was taught was, you know, the paragon that we're looking at of a kli that's attached to the ground is an oven, but really it's the same thing. It's two different ways to phrase the same piece. Or is there some nafgamina between an oven, the lishna acharina? So that's a machlokas in the Rishonim. Hadron Allah kol hakelim, mazel tov on the completion of the 17th parak. We're starting the 18th parak, which is amazing getting through this incredible but also long mesecta. Okay, mifanin afilu arba v'chamesh kufos. So we are allowed to clear away even four or five boxes shel tevin, of straw, v'shel tevua, and of grain, mipnei ha'orchim. It's such a Jewish thing that we are given permission, like we're taught the chumrah. You know, we're being taught an isser in the context of what we're allowed to do. Like, you know, you're allowed to do this. Oh, really? I didn't know there's a thought. Oh, yeah, by the way, there's an isser that you didn't know about that you're not allowed to do, like, in other cases. So what's this based on? So Rashi helps us a little bit. Mefanin im sarchun koman lahoshiv sham orchim lahasiv besuda o talmidim, right? So if you need to clear space, so you can bring guests in for the Shabbos Suda, oh Talmidim l'drasha v'lo chayshinan l'tircha d'shab, and bring Talmidim for the drasha. You need a clear space v'lo chayshinan that we're not concerned about l'tircha d'shabbos. So that's the basis for this. So there's certain, like, a little bit grayer areas of Isser Derabanan. There are some that are much more clear, and there are some that, you know, like the Muktzah, right? It's a clear isser of tiltul of these objects. Yes, there's a lot of halakha that's discussed in different categories. But then there's something that's like a little bit of a gray area called tircha de Shabbos, extra exertion, unnecessary exertion, excessive exertion, efforts on Shabbos. There's something else related called uvdin dechol that we've mentioned, which is something that it's not halakha, and it's not necessarily a gzeira because of different halacha, but it's like a weekday-like thing, and these types of halachas are very complicated because the Gemara doesn't necessarily fully draw the proper. It's like not magdira, so it doesn't put like the real parameters of the isser, and so the post can have to work with, okay, what are the cases that the Gemara gives us of uvdin dechol, or what are the cases that the Gemara gives us of. Of tircha, and try to work from there, because you could say a lot of things are effort, right? You could say, you know, the gabbai That's a Tircha Yisera, right? Or the president of the shul. That's a Tircha Yisera. Many rabbanim. And so how do you magdir that? So it's a little bit challenging. But let's explore the sugya, the Gemara. We'll start with the Mishnah though. So this is what we're talking about. We're talking about this concept of Tircha, that there's some sort of iser of clearing away big things, right? Schlepping around your house. There's no malacha, right? Because you're within a Rishus HaYachid in your house, and you're not. Let's assume nothing's muktzah right now, and that's going to be the discussion in the rest of the Mishnah. So it's not muktzah. But you can imagine, right? If you're carrying and schlepping, you could be rearranging all the furniture in your apartment and not violate a single Isser D'oraisa. But the spirit of Shabbos is violated. Right, because you're exerting yourself unnecessarily. If you're rearranging all the furniture in your house, that could be a very, very tiring project, especially during these days, dripping with sweat. It's not what we would say. So someone would ask you, should I do that? You say, yeah, it's not a Shabbistic thing to do, right? That's what we would say. So the halachic terminology of not Shabbistic is it's tircha, and there's an isser of schlepping things around like this, exerting yourself. However, for davar mitzvah like orchim, hachnasas orchim, or Talmud Torah, and we'll see other points as well, there is room to be makel to at least be allowed to move arba v'chamesh kupos, four or five boxes. We're going to get to that terminology of four or five. Which one is it? Is it four or is it five? It's five kavachomachor. So that's going to be the Gemara's first question. But let's move on. Avalo es ha'otzar. But you're not allowed to do it for the otzar, which is like a storehouse, a storage place, and the Gemara will explain that term shortly. Mifanin truma tahora udemai umaiser rishon shnitla truma so umaiser shen. Okay, so now we're going to say a bunch of things that you can clear, right? Meaning we mentioned that you're so this is the mukta portion of the Mishnah. We mentioned that regarding the effort thing, but that was assuming that these objects are not mukta. But now we're going to say, and we're going to list types of not muksa straw and things like that, types of tevin and tevua that will not be muksa, and then we're going to list some that are muksa. And so that meaning that the dispensation and this heter to do these things for achnasas orchim and for bittul beis medrash, for that we're going to suspend tircha. We're not going to suspend muksa. As we've seen, muksa is a pretty strict Derabanan. Some of the Rishonim point out that it's almost like I think maybe it's the Gemara itself in Beitza that says it's almost like at the level of a Deraisa, like it's treated very, very strictly Muktzah. This is Derabanan of Tircha, we're more makel. So yes, we're allowed to move four or five boxes for Chassas Orchim or for Bittul Beis Medrash, but only if it's not Muktzah. And now we're going to give a list of things of types of produce that is not muksa. So, for example, a mufan in shruma tahora. Shruma, that's tahor. Sorry, one second. So, shruma tahora, what is shruma tahora? Shruma, that's tahor. Actually, Baruch Hashem, this week's parsha, at the end of the parsha, we were told about the matnos kahuna, and as well as what we're going to see in a moment. But so shruma tahora is not muksa, right? I would rather not. If it's tamei, truma tameya, that is going to be mukta. Why? Rashi says kolomar umahu mefanin davar haroi kigon elu truma tahora dechazi the behemas kohen. Because your truma tahora you could feed to the behema of a kohen, right? We're talking about straw and grain. People are not going to be eating straw and grain, but kohanim will be feeding that to their animals, and aval truma tameya, but if it's tamei truma, lo, you can't. Dafila, Rashi says something a little bit controversial here. Dafila the behemas kohen lo chazia b'shabbes. Dafagav, right, that truma tameya needs to be destroyed. That's what needs to be done with truma tameya, so that kohanim don't eat it by accident. So we destroy it by burning it. Rashi says that you can even give it to an animal to eat. A kohen can give it to an animal to eat as long as he doesn't eat it himself. But these are things that you cannot do on Shabbos, as we learned back all the way back on Daf Chav Gimel and Daf Chav Dalet, that you can't destroy tamei Truma stuff even on Yom Tov when you can burn it. You can't do it on Yom Tov. You can't be surfing Kudshim on Yom Tov. So Rashi said you can't even feed it. A Kohen can't even feed it to his animal and dispose of it that way. It's controversial whether or not a Kohen in general can use his Tamei Truma and feed that to his animal. So that's a question. But that's what Rashi is saying over here. So anyway, but if the Truma is Truma Tahora, that's fine. That's not muksa. Well, the latter half of the Mishnah we're going to talk about Truma Tameya, and that's the, you know, so it's going to be that parallel. Udemai, and also demai. Demai is produce that came from an amla aretz that we're not sure if he took off Meister, and therefore it might be tevel, untithed produce, and untithed produce is absolutely forbidden to eat. So if it's demai, so you might say demai that requires tithing. You have to take Meister off demai. That's how we paskin. We paskin that even if it's demai, we have to take it off. So demai is still not going to be muktzah on Shabbos. You'll say, wait, it's untithed, and you're not allowed to tithe it on Shabbos. You're not taking Meister on Shabbos, so therefore it should be muktzah. No, it's not necessarily. Demai isn't going to be muktzah on Shabbos because, as Rashi mentioned it over here, I don't see Rashi mentions it here, but to my, in general, we assume Rov Amei Aretz are Maasrin. We assume that Amei Aretz do take off Meiser. It's just a Chumra, and there might be other points as well to why it's not considered Muktzah on Shabbos. Umeiser Rishon Shenitla Trumaso, and also Meiser Rishon that had the Truma taken off. Umeiser Sheni. Meister Rishon that took that the Truma was taken off. This is also related to this week's parsha. At the end of the parsha as well, we learn about Meister Rishon given to the Levi. He has to take off Truma. Truma's Meister and give it to the Kohen. But this is fine. This is not considered Muksa. Umeiser Sheni Vehekdish. Meister Sheni is the Meister. So that's 10% that's taken off in the years of a Shemitah cycle. The first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the Shemitah cycle. Yeah, the way it works is it's Meister Sheni, Meister Sheni, Meister Ani. Meister Sheni, Meister Sheni, Meister Ani, Shemitah. Meister Sheni, right? That's the system. So for 2 years, that after you've given the Kohen and the Levi, you've given the Truma, you've given the Meister Rishon, you take off another tenth, and that tenth is for you to benefit, but only in Yerushalayim. So you have to go to Yerushalayim and benefit from the Meister there. And what people sometimes do is they don't want to slip all their produce to Yerushalayim, so they redeem it. They consecrate it on money. Now they have their special Meister Sheni money, and then they take that and buy a lafa or a shawarma or something in Yerushalayim and eat it there. So if you have the Meister Sheni, the hektish sheniftu that were redeemed, or hektish, right? You said something that was, this is hektish. Then you redeemed it onto money. So now the money is hektish, and the food that you had is redeemed. So none of this stuff is muksa. Vatormus. And also these a type of tormos beans that I guess you can give to animals, maybe. Tormos hayavesh, dry tormos. Because that goats will eat that stuff. So if you have pet goats, you can give it to them, so it's not muksa. Ava lo es a tevel, but if it's untithed meiser, right, not demai, where it's, you know, suffix. Tevel, for sure, untithed. You can't tithe it on Shabbos, that's muksa. Vlo es meiser rishon shalom nitzel trumaso. And Meister Rishon, that the Truma wasn't taken off, and also you can't do it on Shabbos. V'lo es Meister Sheni v'hekta shalom iftu. If you have the Meister Sheni that wasn't redeemed, and you're not in Yerushalayim right now, right? So you can't, it's muksa to you, because you're not allowed to eat it in a Pasaic. You have to go to Yerushalayim to, I mean, well, really it's only growing from stuff in Eretz Yisrael, but let, you know, if you're in Beit Shemesh, you're not allowed to eat it there. You need to redeem it and bring it up, so it's muksa to you. And hektish is, of course, if it's not redeemed, it's muksa. I mean, you can't benefit from hektish. V'lo es haluf. And not aluf is a type of, it's rash, the min kitnia she'in roi chai afilu behema. It's a type of raw legume that even animals don't eat, so it's muksa. You can't feed it to animals. V'lo es achardal, and not a mustard seed, which I guess also inedible. Rizim gamliel matir baluf, mibnei shuhu maichel orvin. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, nope, people feed it to Orvin. People feed it to ravens, ravens that they own. Rashi says, this is interesting, Kigona Ashirim Shemegadlin Orvin Legedula, that for rich people who raise ravens for Gedula, for greatness. I don't know if it's that they want the ravens to be great, or it's like a sign of Gedula, like, you know, I raise ravens evermore or whatever, and therefore I'm chashiv. So anyway, people do that, and if you ha- and for those who have so people since people have pet ravens, those ravens eat loofs, so therefore a loof is not mukta. Chavile kasra, chavile etzem, bundles of straw or bundles of wood, v'chavile zradim, and bundles of like softer reeds. Im hiskinan lemaychal behema, if he was misaking them to be maychal behema, he set them aside to be maychal behema, metalton or son, then you're allowed to move them. Vim lav, but if he didn't set, you know, lichatchila haven't set these aside to be used for feeding animals, vim lav, ain't metalton or son, we're not allowed to. Okay. We'll just do a drop more. Hashta chamesh mefanin, arba mebaya. What is this four and five, right? You can move four and five. If the answer is it's five, then I don't have to say four, right? Just say you can move five boxes. So we're going to see a couple of approaches. And we're referring to arba mechamesh. It means that you can move four from five. Meaning if there are five boxes there, you can move four of them. Rashi explains, im lo hayasham ela kashir hey kufos lo yifana ela dal mehem. Why? She'asur ligmor esa otzar, because you're not allowed to fully clear out a storage place. Dilma chazi gumos bekarka iso mashvi lehu. Right, there's some other, external gzera about completely clearing out a storage place, because it's common that there'll be gumos, there'll be holes in the ground, and you might come to do that. And if you clear out the whole storehouse from corner to corner, I guess it'll be very noticeable, and you'll be likely to be mashve gumos there and fill up those that would be an iser deraisa. So in order to avoid that, we said that you're not allowed to clear out all of a store of an otzar. If there are five kupos, you can only do four. So when it says afilo arba vechamesh kupos, it means arba mechamesh kufos. And ikada amri arba me otzar katan. Four from an otzar katan, v'chamesh me'otzar gadol, and five from a large otzar. So now the question is, umay aval lo esa otzar? But what does it mean? You can't clear out the otzar, right? If this first din of the Mishnah teaches me four from five kupos, and it's teaching me therefore that I'm not allowed to clear a whole otzar, so then why does it have to tell me in the third line of the Mishnah, avaloasa otzar, right? We know, we figured that out from the four and five, meaning if you're going to understand afilo arba v'chamesh, meaning arba mechamesh, so that implies that not esa otzar, so why does it explicitly tell me avaloasa otzar? So the Gemara says, shalo yascha ba'otzar tchila, that you should not begin with the otzar, just licha tchila. Rashi says, Bottom line, so he says that if he began to, I guess, use from it already, meaning if he in this otzar, this space, this otzar, he already started to use straw or something else like that, it's already been used for food for himself or for his animal, then it's fine. But otherwise, if not, if you've never taken anything out of the storehouse yet, it's considered muktza, and this is obviously Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's right, the Islay muktza Rabbi Yehuda holds, that there is muktza, and this is a fundamental point of differentiation between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, is that Rabbi Shimon says, as long as it's fit for use, it's not muktza. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you have to have in mind, there has to be like some process that this dafka is not muktza. So this otzar line is lo esa otzar, avalosa otzar, is being understood as, but if the otzar was never used before, meaning if you've never used anything from this otzar yet, then it's all considered mukta, which doesn't have to do with the tircha discussion, right? Like the Mishnah is like bouncing back and forth from tircha and otzar and another iser, the gzera of not clearing out an otzar because you might mashva gumos. So there's a few different points here loaded in this understanding of the Mishnah. We say, mifanan afilo arba v'chamesh harbet kupos, meaning that there's an iser of tircha in general, but you're allowed to take four out of five. But you can't take five out of five because that's a separate thing that gezera, because you might be mashva gumos. And then we say, but lois ha'otzar, but you can't take from the otzar. That's referring to an otzar that you've never taken from because that's all considered mukta. So we're like, this understanding is like juggling like several unrelated isurim of tircha, a strong, a wide application of muktzah and a gzeirah of being mashve gumos, all in one, and that's one way to understand it. And this is and this understanding would be the Mishnah in the course of Yehuda, and Shmuel is going to say arba vicham. I guess we'll save it for tomorrow or Sunday, where Shmuel is going to give a different approach to how to understand arba vichamesh.